Man, wonderful, sweet time of fellowship together, and we really enjoyed today with you here, and I'm so glad to get the opportunity to be with you both morning and evening. And I just have some short devotional here tonight, perhaps to encourage some Christians to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take you back to 2 Kings chapter 4, and the story of the Shunammite woman that set up a place for the man of God, and the things that we can glean from as in types of the means of grace that God uses in our lives to basically furnish us in such a good way, where we could truly move on in our Christian life, in the way that He intends for us to do. 2 Kings chapter 4, if you can stand for the reading of the Word of God, that's fine. If you can't, you can just remain seated. The Bible says in verse 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on that day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there." Let's pay our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you indeed for every portion of your word. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have prepared for us tonight. I pray, dear God, that you would just challenge our hearts, remembering what you said unto us regarding your word, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out from thy mouth. Pray, dear God, that you would just continue to bless each and every one of your children here. And I pray that you would just help us to abide in thee with our eyes unto the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. Feed our souls, dear Lord Jesus, tonight through your word. And we pray this through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's on, isn't it? And the Bible teaches concerning the Word of God that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable unto doctrine, unto reproof, unto correction, and unto instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be ready and truly, perfect and truly furnished, ready unto every good work. Amen? So, truly furnished unto every good work. And over in this place, we see a simple room that is prepared by the Shunammite woman for the man of God that is simply but truly furnished. It's got four elements in the room here tonight. And I'd just like to bring your attention to these four elements, which represent or typify the means of grace that God provide unto us, that we may grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus and His grace. Now, as we look at these things, I pray that the Lord will teach us certain things from each of the furnishings that she provided. The Bible tells us there that she prepared that room on the wall, and she set in it first a bed, secondly a table, thirdly a stool, and last but not least a candlestick. And I want to talk about each one of these simply as what they typify. Number one is a bed. Now, a bed is obviously a symbol of rest. You know, everyone needs that time of rest at the end of the day, where our bodies are rejuvenated and we wake up the next morning with new energy. We are rested. And when we go to sleep, God basically
puts us to sleep and God is the one that wakes us up. Have you ever tried to figure out which way you go to sleep and which way you figure out? If you try to, you'll never sleep and you'll never be able to, you know, try and get that rest. But, you know, I go to sleep and often I say to my wife, I said, this is the time when we come to bed. This is not for talking, this is for sleeping. And this is when she wants to talk. But I say, if you want anything to talk, let's just talk here in the living room. And to me, I just go to bed, I want to sleep, I want to get that rest. But often I thought about how do we get woken up in the morning. And it's God who really wakes us up in the morning. And he gives us life, he gives us that rest. And the very, very first thing that we need in our Christian life, in order to know how to grow, we really need to have that rest. And the Bible tells us through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is the very first type of rest. But when we read on, we reach another type of rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Over here we actually see two kinds of rest. A rest that first is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. A rest that first can never be worked for or can never really be found by us. But the second type of rest is, he says, ye shall find rest for your souls. In other words, it's the rest that we get as a result of learning from him, as a result of putting his yoke upon us, as a result of serving in the right way, in the right spirit. You know, sometimes we can actually serve like Martha, where we can come to the Lord and we say, Lord, don't you see how much I do for you? And all these brethren in the church, they don't do anything. They just sit down and listen. Lord, tell Mary to get up and help me. And the Lord looked at Martha and said, Martha, Martha, thou troublest thyself about many things, but the need is for one. Mary has chosen the good part that will be never taken away from her. And oftentimes, we really need to find that rest. Praise the Lord for serving God. It is a privilege. Praise the Lord for going out and knocking on doors and giving out tracts and doing all things, because it's a privilege. But let me say tonight, you really need to be doing that in such a way where you first rested in Christ. Not out of duty, not out of a sour spirit where you think that you're just doing God a favor by going out to preach to souls or doing things. That's not ministry. Ministry shall find true rest for our souls when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. But the rest that we first must find is when we come to him. And let me just say, that's the rest that can be found first and foremost through salvation in Jesus Christ. This is where the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That peace after the peace that he's talking about here is a peace after you have enmity, after you have a fight, after you have a war with someone, and then finally, rest comes in. Peace comes in. Amen? We were at enmity with God. We were almost fighting against God. But when we finally came to him through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we had rest from the heavy burden of sin. Colossians 1:10 and 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I pray that you possess this rest in your heart. And in your heart, you would be absolutely at peace with God. Because if you don't have that, Isaiah actually described a person who hasn't found that peace in God is like a troubled sea. In Isaiah 57:20, he says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Have you found that rest in Jesus Christ? I trust you have. And I know many of us we have. But I pray that you do not only find that rest from the burden of sin, but I also pray that you would actually have rest in the ministry. Rest in such a way where you serve God in the gladness of your heart. Serve God with gladness. Serve God in such a way where, yes, I know there is a responsibility that laid upon me, but on the other hand, I do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within me. I do not do it by the power of the flesh. Because if you try to serve the Lord in the power of the flesh, I tell you the honest truth, you're going to be flat on your face very soon, and you're not going to be able to continue. You know, so much the time that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can achieve so much more. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually produce fruit that is real. But the flesh, not only do we do so little, but even the fruit that we produce is only almost manufactured fruit that is not real. And I'm afraid to say that in Christendom today, there's much of service unto God and there's much of ministry out there, but the truth is many of these things are just manufactured things, and people are just not being satisfied by the things, by the way that they do things. And the servant of God experiences rest when he realizes that God himself is the worker, and that he is his and that is his responsibility in the matter, is only to respond to the quiet trust and the obedience to his ability. You know, when he says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's actually saying, you know, when you put yourself under my yoke, I'm there together with you. You know, if you are together under the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, guess who's pulling the biggest weight? Certainly not me or you. It's he. And the truth is, we only follow his leadership. We only go along with him. And when we do that, then our service can truly be greatly rewarded. The second thing that we see is not only a bed, but we see a table in that room. Now, a table is often, this afternoon we were actually sitting at the table. We had lunch at Pastor Charlie's house. And then Pastor Charlie said, "Do you want to move over to, you know, a more comfortable chair?" And my wife said, no, I like sitting around the table. You know, and I often thought, you know, table is always a symbol of fellowship. You know, that's where the greatest things happen, amen, around the table. That's where we share heart-to-heart conversations. I know there's food always around on the table, and that's great. Just tonight, we actually remembered God's great redemption for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And what we call this, the Lord's table. It talks about communion. It talks about fellowship in Christ. You know, Daniel 11:32 expresses God's will for each one of us in a beautiful way when he says, "But the people that do know God, do know their God, shall be strong and do exploits." One of the very pictures we get in the book of Genesis is that of perfect, unspoiled fellowship. In Genesis 3:8, the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now, they used to have that sweet fellowship with God on a daily basis. But when did they hide themselves from God? When sin entered. Because sin breaks fellowship. And the truth is, broken fellowship brings greater sins. But first, sin causes the fellowship to break. And only in few cases we see in the book of Genesis how that fellowship was restored. And we're told about one case in Genesis chapter 5, and a man whose name was Enoch. And the Bible says concerning him, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the testimony about this man in the book of Hebrews is so beautiful that the Bible says about it, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can I just say, without continual fellowship with the Lord God, you cannot go to be furnished in a good way, to be perfect and ready unto every good work. Fellowship. How do we fellowship? We fellowship through prayer. We fellowship through communion. God provides us and affords us many opportunities to fellowship with Him, with His people. Together, we ought to always encourage each other, as the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10 and verse 25, you know, not forsaking the assemblies together as the manner of some is. Why? So that we can basically challenge one another unto every good work. Provoke one another unto every good work. You know, sometimes the word provoke can be used only negatively. That's how we mostly use it in our everyday language, in English today. But, you know, when they say he provoked me to anger, or he provoked me to, do the wrong thing. But here is a beautiful picture of provoking someone unto a good thing. How do we provoke someone unto good works? You know, by setting a good example. By challenging them through the Word of God. By praying for them. The Bible says to compel them to come in. Provoke them to do good. How? Certainly not by force. We don't draw any weaponry to say, you come to the house of God and compel them to come into the house of God. No. But we compel them by our love. We compel them through prayer. We compel them through just actual good deeds, where we serve them and encourage them and say, come on over to the house of God, where we can have fellowship together. Every one of us needs that in order to continue. And as we come to have fellowship with God, such a sweet hour of prayer. When you enter and before the throne of grace and learn how to fellowship with God. It is His plan for every one of His children. And it's an essential element in a well-furnished life to have a true fellowship and true communion with God. A boy that would say of his father that I don't have much to do with him if I can help it is certainly a boy who is not in good fellowship with his father. Isn't that right? And the same with us. The same with us. Is it like that with us and our Heavenly Father? Are we so busy sometimes, or so preoccupied with the things of this world, with our businesses and our careers and our studies and our daily walk and our families and in making money and doing all sorts of things, that we spend little time with Him? How can you grow in grace without that communion? She provided him a bed for rest. She provided him a table for communion and fellowship. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know, often we actually use this word or this sentence or this verse for sinners to come as an invitation from the Lord. But the truth is, when you put that back in context, that was actually spoken to the church. Spoken to the church of Laodicea, which represents the very last church in the church age. If you look at the picture at the very beginning of the church age, you see that he that standeth in the midst of the candlesticks. He was in the middle of the churches. He was on the inside. But sadly, even in the church's life, he seems to be on the outside and knock. And he said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and notice the words, and will sup with him. Fellowship. Yes, he will sit at a table with you. Yes, he'll eat a bite with you. And he'll fellowship. And he with me. The picture is of a Savior and the sinner, and the Savior and the backsliding Christian coming together, supping together in holy, happy fellowship and communion that is intimate before him. Well, thirdly, she provided him a chair, or what the Bible says there, a stool. Okay? A stool or a chair is a symbol of discipleship. It's a symbol of receiving instruction. It's a symbol of sitting down to hear in attention and learn. Amen? Here we actually have the essential element of the Word of God in our life as means of grace for our growth in the law, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we actually see that every man, woman, and child of God would have understand that God would want him to truly understand him and know his will through his word. In Deuteronomy 33, in chapter 33 and verse 3, the Bible says, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and in their, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Sitting at his feet, receiving at his words. Beautiful picture, isn't it? Every day, we need to sit in a quiet time with the Word of God and let God speak to our hearts. You see, in prayer and communion, we speak to Him. But in instruction and through His Word, He speaks to us. It's never one way, it's always two ways. And so also in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, when Mary sat down at Jesus' feet to listen and to learn, the Bible says these words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Martha. He says, one thing is needful, Martha. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What did she choose? She chose to sit down at his feet and hear his words. What a wonderful mean of grace in our life. One of the most significant names given to our giving of our Lord to his followers is he called them my disciples. You know what a disciple is? It's a pupil. It's a student. That's another word for disciple. As someone who enlists in coming under a master to sit at his feet, to learn from him, to be trained by him, and then to go out and do his business. To propagate his message. But first, he has to be disciplined. A disciple is a disciplined Christian. One who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, has found rest, has taken his yoke upon him, and his passion in his life to learn of him and to do his will. All that involves certain disciplines that we need as Christians to do. Some Christians are not disciplined. They are not really disciples, if we may say so. You know, sometimes we actually go to fellowship meetings as pastors, and some people always like to say, how big is your church? And, you know, I've learned something from early on from a pastor back in Lebanon whose name was Dr. Victor Sadaka. And he had a powerful church, not a big church, but a powerful church. And he always used to ask the question, how many disciples do you have? Not how many people attend, but how many disciples do you have? You see, that's where the power of a church is actually measured. Not by how many people attend, but how many disciples are there. May the Lord truly help us to be good disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is someone who has learned how to meditate upon the Word of God. Blessed is the man who that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. A good disciple is not just someone who sits at his feet and hears it, but he goes about it in such a way where he meditates on it day and night. You know, that's why it's great to always practice what I call being in the presence of God. The Bible teaches us to pray continuously and not to faint. Amen? How can we really take instruction from the Word of God all the time? I can't be reading the Word of God all the time. I can't always be on my knees praying. But listen, if I get time to be on my knees praying, and if I get time to read God's Word and take its instructions, then I can practice God's presence, where throughout the day I can lift my heart in little prayers every now and then and speak to Him. And throughout the day I can actually stop for a moment and think of what I read this morning, or what I heard that night on that tape, or what I heard in on the message during on that Sunday, and be reflecting on it, be mulling on it. You know, some of the old saints that were absolutely illiterate, didn't know how to read the Word of God, were better Christians than us today. How? I mean, after all, they didn't even read the Bible. But man, they used to take the Word of God seriously into their hearts and really meditate on it all day. I tell you, when I was a very young Christian, I attended a prayer meeting of some people who were all a bunch of illiterates. They're workers in the city of Kuwait. None of them carried a Bible because none of them could read, neither Arabic nor English nor any other language. When they stood up to pray, they opened the windows of heaven through their prayers. They were able to quote scriptures that I've never heard of. And I said to one of them, Luga, whose name was, Luke, I said, Luga, how did you memorize so much scripture? He said, well, I've got the Bible on tape. Every day I listen to the tape there, to one of the chapters, about 4 or 5 times in the morning. Then at my break, I listen to it 4 or 5 times at my break. Then at lunch, I actually take my lunch break and I eat my sandwich and I listen to that same chapter 4 or 5 times. I go home and I listen to the same chapter 4 or 5 times. I'm thinking of that chapter 4 or 5 times. I try to pick one of these verses and I try to memorize it. Every week, I memorize one verse. I've been a Christian for 40 years. Every week, I memorize one verse. This guy didn't read the Bible. Didn't know how to read, didn't even know an A from a Z, but he knew how to meditate on the Word of God. That puts us to shame sometimes. I put my head down in shame and I said, Lord, forgive me. Help me to truly have that spirit of sitting in your presence. Receive instruction. Meditate on the Word of God. Not only does such a disciple meditate on the Word of God, but the disciple also study the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Not only should we study the Word of God, but listen, the Word of God was not given to us just to increase our head knowledge. We need to obey the Word of God. You know, so much, sometimes we are ashamed when we don't know something from the Bible. I tell you the honest truth, I'm not ashamed when I don't know something from the Bible. But I'm ashamed when I know something and don't obey it. We need to be obedient to the Word of God. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the knowledge and obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. I like that. When your obedience is fulfilled. When what? When your obedience is fulfilled. A disciple of God doesn't only meditate on the Word of God, doesn't only study the Word of God, doesn't only obey the Word of God, but let me say, he also submits to his control. He submits to his master's word. God should have control of our lives. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So she provided a bed for rest. She provided a table for communion or fellowship. She provided a stool, a chair, a symbol of instruction, receiving instruction or knowledge from the Lord, from the Word of God. Last but not least, she provided him a candlestick. A candlestick is definitely a symbol of a testimony. A candlestick speaks of light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it should be reflected in our lives. Amen? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said this word light in twice in such a way that must be connected with each other. Before, when he was on earth with his disciples, he said, I am the light of the world. When the time came that he was about to leave them, he looked at them and he said, ye are the light of the world. You all know that the moon doesn't have its own light, but the moon reflects the light of the sun. And that's why sometimes it's so beautiful on a clear night. I remember one time I had an old Valiant that was beaten up. I used to actually drive into a petrol station and say, fill up the oil and check the petrol, because it used to chew up so much oil. I remember as I was driving from Melbourne, the alternator basically was gone. So I couldn't turn my lights on. And I stopped at one service station, and it was too late. The mechanic had already gone home. And the guy said, well, you just have to stay here till the morning, and he'll come back tomorrow morning, and he'll fix your alternator. So I looked out there, and it was a clear night. It was so beautiful. And I just thought to myself, well, I'm going to drive it out. And I actually drove out from about 2 o'clock in the morning till about 5 o'clock before when, you know, dawn started breaking. And it was working. I was driving almost like a daylight. I could see everything. It was only the moonlight. It was such a clear night. Praise the Lord, no police stopped me on that day. But anyway, I did the wrong thing. But I just try and imagine how beautiful that night was, and the moon reflecting the sun's light. Now, you all know that sometimes things can get in between the sun and the moon. And sometimes we have what we call eclipse. And it's said that one time Earth said to the moon, how come you stopped shining your light? That the moon said to the sun, how come you stopped shining your light upon me? And the sun answered and said, the world got between you and me. Earth got between you and me. And that's exactly what happens when we have an eclipse. We have the earth coming in between the sun and the moon in such a way that the moon looks actually all black. And all you can see just sometimes a very faint ring. And you know when we stop shining our lights in the world, to the world? Is when we let the world come in between us and the sun, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man's testimony who's a Christian ought to be very precious to him. The Lord wants us to shine our light at home, in the office, at university or at the school, in the business, wherever you are in your world, God wants you to be a light there. You often heard the saying that basically says, Jesus took my place on the cross And then he gave me his life to go and live it in the world. That's the truth. We ought to be little Christs in this world, shining our light through in a wicked and perverse generation. And you'll never grow and be truly furnished unto every good work without having a true testimony in your life. Your testimony is not just what you say. Our whole duty, so far as his testimony is concerned, is just to let the Lord Jesus Christ shine through us in our actions, in our words, in our behavior, in our walk of life, that finally, as we surrender to him, he's able to do everything that he wants to do through us. Remember what Philippians 2:13 says? It is God who worketh in us, both to will and to do his perfect pleasure, his good perfect pleasure. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God has provided for each and every one of us these four methods or means of grace that we may continue to grow in Christ Jesus. Notice that every one of them has to do with Christ. First, rest in the Lord. Secondly, communion is enjoyed with Christ. Thirdly, instruction is received from the Lord Jesus. And lastly, a testimony that is to reflect his light in a wicked and perverse generation, for a world that is needy today to see the testimony of God. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, God has provided us with everything that pertains to God, to life and godliness. And he's provided everything that we may be truly furnished unto every good work. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, God has blessed us today. Wonderful day of the Lord. And tonight, as we go home, remember, as we rise up tomorrow to go out into the world, we have come to be recharged, to be challenged, that we may go out in the world and just remember to be a testimony. But you can never be a testimony without first finding rest in him, communing with him, and then sitting at his feet to receive instruction every day. You've received instruction for the week throughout this morning and tonight, but I pray that this would not be enough. You don't just eat one time a week, do you? We eat three times a day, and the same spiritually. I pray that we use these methods of grace that we may continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his grace. While every head bowed and all eyes closed, I'm going to call on Pastor Charlie at this time to pray. But before he does, I just want to give you a moment of silence. Let's search our hearts. Perhaps you actually say, I'm not really using one of these methods or more than one. And tonight, Lord, thank you for reminding me, challenging me. Let me, Lord, set things right, make some mid-course changes, and help me to take advantage and make use of these methods or means of grace that you have provided unto me. Just a minute of silence, and then Pastor Charlie will close in a little prayer.
Maybe you're here tonight and you say, in the area of my life, one of these points touched my life. I haven't been resting in the Lord like I should. I've been relying on the flesh. I've been trying to do things, and the danger in that is I know a lot of things. I know a lot of the different things that I need to do, but I'm not depending upon the Lord. I'm not learning from him. I'm carrying things myself. Maybe tonight say, Lord, I want to rest in you. I want to continue to learn from you. I want to yoke up with you. Maybe that's your prayer here tonight. You say, please pray for me regarding that. Anyone like that? Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I want to continue to sit at the Lord's table to commune with him. We spoke about that last week. I want him to speak to my heart. I want him to minister to my heart. Many a times I'm not hearing from the Lord. I'm not taking the time to pray. A lot of things perhaps are taking my time and I need to make time to spend more time with the Lord. Say, I need grace from the Lord to make a commitment to spend time with the Lord. Please pray for me, anyone like that here tonight regarding that. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you and you. Maybe here tonight, perhaps you say, I want to sit on that stool being teachable. I don't want to come to the point of my life that I've arrived. I want to continue, no matter how long I've been in the faith, 10, 20, 30 years. I want to maintain that humility before the Lord that He'd continue to minister to my heart. I love that statement. Spoke to my heart. It's not, I'm not ashamed of what I perhaps don't know from the Word. But I want to be, I'll be ashamed of what I do know and don't do it. And you say, maybe tonight I want to be teachable. I want to know to do. I want to live it for the glory of God. I don't want to just have this knowledge, but I want to continue to be teachable, to be humble, and to live out the Word of God. You say, I'm struggling with that in my life. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Please pray for me. And lastly, I do want to be a testimony tonight. I want people to see Jesus in me. And that song we sing, do people see Jesus in you? I want to be different. I want to be peculiar. I want to take on the character of my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be different. Let me say something tonight. You cannot be different if you don't spend time with the one that made a difference. There's no way in the world. If you don't yoke up, learn, spend time with the Lord to know what to say, when to say it, know how to live like Him. So I want to be different in my speech. I want to be different in my attitude. I want to be different by going out and living for others. I want to be different but not be ashamed of the gospel. I want to be a light through my testimony, through the gospel, and through my attitude and my character. Say, I am doing this, but I want to strive to be better at it. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, you say, please pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you tonight, and I'll remember you during the week. Maybe you're here with us before I close, and you say, Brother Charlie, I honestly am still struggling with my salvation. I want you to continue to pray for me. And I want you to continue to intercede on my behalf. I want the Lord to give me understanding. I'm not sure that if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven. I'm already praying for some people tonight that I am aware of. But maybe you're here tonight, I'm not aware of you. I want to pray for you. I want to meet up with you. I want to spend some time with you in the Bible and the Word. So you get your assurance. This is your soul that we're talking about. This is not something that needs to be played around with. This is your soul. Your soul is precious to God. And if you're not sure 100%, maybe we can sit down together, I can pray for you, and we can study the scriptures regarding this topic, that you'd get your assurance, because so that you get your joy. You say, that's me. Please pray for me. Anyone like that tonight before we close? So that's me. I'm struggling with my assurance. Please pray for me. Remember me. All right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is, the liberty also is there. That we don't have to continue to fear. That we can continue to submit to you and love you. Perfect love casts out fear. And Father, we know that that perfect love comes from you as we simply rest in you. As we simply, Lord, commune with you, as we simply learn from you, and as we simply live for you, for your glory. Lord, I pray that you'd help every single one that put their hand and hearts up regarding these different things tonight. Regarding, Lord God, of resting. Regarding, Lord God, of praying. Regarding, Lord God, of learning, being teachable. And no doubt regarding of being a testimony and a light. Father, you know your people. You know those children that you've been working on and you have been working on and you continue to be working on. Lord God, I pray that you strengthen them. I pray, dear God, that you grant grace to them. that they may be strengthened. I thank you, Lord, for their sensitivity to your word and their response to your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you may continue to direct their steps, their thoughts, and that the commitment and the decisions that they make, that they'll follow through, and they don't allow any distractions, any weights, any sin will hinder the commitment that they'll make tonight. Father, I pray that you'd watch over them and that you'd continue to work in their lives and that you'd strengthen the areas in which they are weak in. Thank you, Father, for the word of God that had spoken to all our hearts. I know it spoke to my heart. Father, I thank you that there are some things in my life from the word right here tonight that I need to be better at, that I need to continue and reflect upon and meditate upon and think about what I need to work on. And Lord, I want that. I pray that you'd give me grace to do that during this week. Think about some of the things that were spoken tonight. Thank you, Father, for your messenger. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given him the liberty to preach your word. And that, Father, thank you for the people that come every week without delay to hear your word in week in and week out. Thank you for their love for the word of God. And Lord, I just want to pray for that soul that I know that's struggling with their salvation. Oh, dear God, I pray that you may continue to reveal yourself to that person, that you may continue to strengthen that person's heart, and that, Lord God, that you'd allow that person to continue to seek you diligently. Lord, I pray that you'd be blessing the night. Thank you for our visitors once again. Thank you, Father, for the different ones that have come, and just pray that they've received the blessing from the word of God. I pray that you may continue to lead them in the way. And last of all, we want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you, Lord God, that we have forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Lord God, that we are rejoicing Christians. Thank you, Lord God, that our salvation is secure, and that we're going to see you again, and that, Lord God, we're going to be with you forevermore. Thank you, Father, for that assurance. Thank you, Lord God, for the days that you give us. Thank you, Lord God, for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.